So I wanted to do something a little different this evening. Plus, we've been in the Psalms for several weeks, so it's a good chance for us to look at something different. And considering what I was talking about on Sunday evening about complementarianism and women, I think that this is a good subject for us, especially since we just had, or not us, but the Southern Baptist Convention just had its annual convention. That was last week. And so this has been on my mind, and I wanted to just go through some of these things. And so some of you are aware that there was a big vote concerning women and preaching and pastoring. And there's a lot more to it than that, but I wanted to start off this evening by looking at the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. This is Article 6 on the Church. And of course, we read there, New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an autonomous local congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant and faith and fellowship of the gospel. And it goes on from there, but more to the point here, in such a congregation, each member is responsible and accountable to Christ as Lord. Its two scriptural offices are that of pastor slash elder slash overseer and deacon. And we've gone over this before, that pastor and elder and overseer, these are all interchangeable words in the New Testament. The King James used the word bishop for overseer, and so we could add in bishop right here as well. It's two scriptural offices we could say are pastor and deacon, or elder and deacon, you know, depending on how we want to break that down. While both men and women are gifted for service in the church, and so that's affirmed right there in the BFM 2000, the office of pastor, elder, overseer is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. Now, this was something that was added because the previous Baptist Faith and Message was not clear in its statement about the qualifications of pastor as being limited to male leadership. And so this was added in to clarify that, and that is certainly what we see in Scripture. In fact, I have the Bible up here. Of course, you're free to turn in your own Bibles here. I'll make the text a little bit bigger. And we'll turn first to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think it starts in verse 9. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Mark, are we still under that? Or are we...
No. He's just from it. We're not in the Southern Baptist.
That's why we're affiliated.
We're not Southern Baptist.
But none of that's changed.
No, none of this has changed. And it doesn't look like it's going to change. But I did want to review a couple of the scriptures on this. And I know we've been over this before, but that's okay. More specifically, looking at verse 12 here, we read, "I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." Now, of course, this doesn't mean remain quiet at all times. obviously, women are allowed to talk. Women are allowed to talk in church as well. This is within the context of preaching within a church. This is talking about those who would stand up and teach within a church. "I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man." And then he goes on to explain that. But then in chapter 3, we get to the qualifications for overseers. And once again, an overseer is a pastor, is an elder. And so when we say qualifications for overseers, we're talking about pastors, elders, overseers. Well, what do we read here? "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer," and notice right there, we already have man. Now, is it possible that that is being general? If anyone, that is a masculine pronoun there. But as we go through this, it does appear that man is the best understanding, because in addition to being above reproach, he should be the husband of one wife. And so that's very difficult to apply in the reverse. I know we're in a funny age now, but we don't really apply that in the reverse. Exactly. And by the way, when we are looking at this, a lot of these verbs are masculine. He must be one who manages his own household well. Again, we have the masculine adjective there. Keeping his children under control with all dignity. Of course, women should be keeping their children under control too. They should be doing what they can to manage the household well as well. However, it is ultimately upon the man to do these things. Why? Because as a man leads his household, he is to also be leading the church of God. And so it is pretty clear that it should be a man. In the book of Titus, we have something similar in chapter 1. I think I just went a little too far here. Here we go. And so, elders, again, elder, pastor, overseer, these are the same offices. Elders, who would be qualified to be an elder? If any man is above reproach, again, the husband of one wife. And we could go on from there. And so, once again, Paul lays down this qualification that it should be a man. And so that's why it was added. Now, there are a lot of folks who would say, no, it shouldn't be a man. It should not be a man. For instance, one of the largest, if not the largest, church in the Southern Baptist Convention is Saddleback Church. That is in Orange County, California. It is pastored, or was pastored, I should say, by Rick Warren. He is the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, The Purpose-Driven Church, and All Manner of Purpose-Driven Drivel. These are not books I recommend to you. And we see here in this post from 2 years ago, May 7th of 2021, they are celebrating the fact that they have ordained women pastors. And here you can see in their Instagram account that they are looking over these pastors and praying over them. Of course, it was in the middle of all that COVID nonsense, so a lot of people are wearing masks. That was an interesting error. But that's yeah, but here you can see women pastors, first three women pastors, Liz Puffer, Cynthia Petty, and Katie Edwards. I know nothing about these women, and I don't really particularly care to know, because here we see that Saddleback is ordaining women pastors in contradiction to the Baptist faith and message. And then Rick Warren went a step further. And so this is on ChristianityToday.com. This is June 2nd, 2022. So about a year later, Rick Warren reveals his successor, and that should be successors, and his retirement date. And so he is retiring as senior pastor, and he selected his successor, which, you know, we could argue whether Baptist pastors can select their successors like that. But here we have him naming a young, what's that, couple to take his place. And so here we have Stacy Wood and Andy Wood, her husband. And so technically, some would argue, well, he's the executive pastor, but then she's named as a teaching pastor, and she's going to be up there teaching alongside of him. And they are a pastor, co-pastor, married team. And so they are taking over for him. So that's kind of where folks just said, okay, this is too much. This is way too much. But, I mean, It's interesting to say, because there are other churches who have elected pastors, co-pastors. In fact, one, I'm trying to see if I have that one up there. I don't think I do. But there was a number that was set out that there are somewhere in the ballpark of 2,000 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention right now that have women pastors. Now, in a convention of 47,000 churches, give or take, that can still be considered to be the minority. But it's obviously a growing majority, a growing number, considering the fact that people just a few years ago were saying there are no Southern Baptist churches that have women pastors. But, of course, the North American Mission Board, the SIND Network, they have been subsidizing these churches that have women pastors, and they don't seem to have had trouble with that. Southeastern, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Southeastern under Danny Aiken, made headlines a year or two ago because they started graduating women from the MDiv program, the Master of Divinity program over there, which is a pastoral degree program. That's the degree I have. That's the degree that a lot of pastors end up getting, the Master of Divinity. But they've started graduating females from that program, saying, well, you know, we're not saying that women can be pastors, but they can get the pastor degree. And so you start to see these women now who are taking pulpits in that way. Now, Rick Warren has become a little bit of a fighter for this. He's wanted to do this. In fact, we could go back to that first Instagram story here. May 7th, 2021, this is on the heels of the Me Too movement, the Church Too movement, where there was all these stories of sexual abuse coming out, both in the secular world as well as in the church. Now, of course, you may remember that, I think it was 2021, there was that Houston Chronicle article that talked about all the churches in the Texas Baptist Convention that had some kind of a sexual activity going on in the church. Now, a lot of those, if I'm not mistaken, were prosecuted, but it worried a lot of folks in the convention, and they said, some of the folks, I should say, were saying, maybe we do need women to be in key leadership roles to take care of the abuse scandal. And it was, so it's on the heels of that. Now, Rick Warren, in an interview, will say he was not affected by culture. He was affected by the reading of Scripture. He just never read the Scripture carefully enough. But now he's come to the conviction that women should be in leadership. Women should be pastors. And I don't think that the timing can be ignored on that, because all of a sudden, at the end of his career, maybe he felt safe at the end of his career to do this, I don't know. But he was censured by the convention. There was a group, the executive committee, if I'm not mistaken, who were tasked with evaluating whether he was still in keeping with the Baptist faith and message, whether he was still participating in good conscience with the Southern Baptist Convention, and whether the church should be dismissed. Well, since that has come out and he's appealed that censure to the messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention, he sent emails out here. You can see this email went out to every single Southern Baptist church, practically. Which you know, we could ask, how did he get the email addresses to every single Southern Baptist church? But he was writing them, making pleas. He made a whole website called SBC Stand, where he is arguing that women should be pastors. He's saying, you know, we've had this drop in membership in the SBC. Therefore, we need to get women pastors in here so we can get people back in here. Of course, why did we leave the SBC? We left because of a leftward drift. And he is pushing for more of a leftward drift. And so it's interesting to see how even the left will use the numbers against them or for them. Yeah, of course, you know, we're placing 50% of the church on the bench. You can see this.
Go back up.
Mm-hmm.
See what he says right there? We're never going to achieve unity on doctrine.
Yeah.
We're going to achieve unity on mission. There's something wrong with that statement right there.
It's something huge. Yeah. You can see that. You can see that. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, if we're... One of the things to notice with this, when a person argues for women pastors, I want you to notice that they will never argue on the basis of what we've already read, that that men are to be pastors, the qualifications of pastors. They will argue on the basis of unity. They will argue on the basis of giving women a chance. We don't want to hurt women. And then they will argue on the basis of women who have, I don't know, importance in Scripture. Of course, no one is denying, the Baptist Faith and Message doesn't deny, that women can be gifted for ministry and that God uses women. Of course, he made them in the beginning male and female. Of course, God uses women. But it's almost like, and this, by the way, if you look up the New York Times, just drawing a blank, the Atlantic, ABC News, NBC, all the legacy media, the mainstream media, if you look these up, they will all say the SBC hates women. And so he is going to argue on the same basis as the world argues. We can't hurt women. We need to elevate women. Because if we don't have... Yeah, we'll get off of that. That's kind of weird. But look at this. State conventions are wisely shielding their churches from new inquisition. So it's an inquisition if you are trying to argue for what the Bible argues for. And here he says at least 1,900, almost 2,000 SBC churches have women pastors quietly serving on staff. And here, this is interesting to me. Here's what he sends out. He quotes from Acts 2:17 and 18, which is a quote from Joel chapter 2. In fact, let me have someone look up Joel chapter 2. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's about verse 18. Let me have someone read that to us in just a moment. Joel 2:18. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you what he posted here. He quotes here, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Both sons and daughters will preach." So in this New Testament age, it says sons and daughters will preach. So what gives us the right to tell women they can't preach? Who has Joel 2:18? Or is that not the right verse? Might be 19 or 20. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Oh,
28. Ah, I was off by one number.
It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy.
Whoa, prophesy. It says preach here.
He just changed the word.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead and keep reading there, brother.
Yeah. Prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on
So that's a passage about judgment. God's going to judge Israel, but he is also going to provide salvation for any who turn to the Lord and would ask for his spirit. Well, maybe he did quote the New Testament. Let's take a look here at Acts 2:17. Maybe, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So it's not prophesy in Joel 2:28, and it's not preach in Joel 2:28, and it's not preach in Acts 2:17. So yes, the word has been changed. This is one of the big problems that I have with the purpose-driven life and all the other works that we see from Rick Warren and from Saddleback Church. They will go from translation to translation until they find a translation that seems to fit whatever doctrine they're trying to push. I'm sure I haven't... Yeah, exactly. I haven't searched, but I'm sure that he is quoting from a version of the Bible, but it's a version he picked that works for him.
This is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about preaching.
Exactly. Well, and if we look at the key words, prophesy, visions, see visions, dreams, this is all supernatural work. Now, someone might argue, well, prophesying can be preaching, because you are forth telling God's word, and that could either be revelatory or it could be just like I'm doing right now, and that's opening up God's word and reading it. That's still forth telling. However, in this context, it's clearly revelatory, because prophesy is right next to see visions and dream dreams. And so this is clearly revelatory language. And so, no, it cannot be translated preach. That is not the right word. By the way, there are other Greek words that are better translated preach. This right here is prophesy. So that's that right there. So, no, that is not correct. Of course, everything he's pushing is not going to be built on Scripture. In our remaining time, I did want to look at three passages here that he cites. This was in an interview with the former SBC Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission president. That's the ERLC. That's something that the Cooperative Fund dollars goes to and funds. This is the former president, Russell Moore, before he stepped down. The interview is taking place since he stepped down. He used to be complementarian. He is not anymore. He is he and Beth Moore were together on this interview. They are not related, by the way. You know, in Tiny Toon Adventures, you had Buster Bunny and you had Babs Bunny. And they always said what, brother?
No relation.
That's right. They are no relation, except in their spirit. They are of one mind when it comes to these issues. I didn't want to play that interview for you, though, because I'm very tempted to talk about Russell Moore and Beth Moore, but let's keep it to Rick Warren here. He first cites Matthew 28:19-20, which is the Great Commission. And he says that Jesus says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, as far as I can tell, that is an accurate translation of the Great Commission. So where does he go wrong? Well, he says...
Because he says, Jesus said to the disciples, how many of those were women? How many of these 12 were?
Exactly. Because he's going to argue that Jesus had among his disciples women. And so if Jesus is saying this to the disciples, he's saying it to the women. Now, we would say, yes, the Great Commission affects everyone, men and women. However, this is a summary statement. This is not talking about how churches should be conducted. This, by the way, is another problem you see with the shallow theology of like the purpose-driven church and different things like that. They'll say the Great Commission is the guiding principle of church. Well, not necessarily. It is the guiding principle of all Christians. And we don't disbelieve that women should go out and share the gospel with other people. But that doesn't mean that they should stand up in church and preach. This doesn't say anything about church. This is talking about going, not when you gather, right? This is when you go, or
this
as you go.
The total loss, not the other Christians.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But he argued, women are to go, women are to make disciples, women are to baptize, and women are to teach, not just men. And that is an assumption when you consider that Matthew 28, the Great Commission, is at best a summary statement for Christians. It's not a descriptive statement of how every Christian is supposed to operate. Let me apply it in this way. The word is go. Are you in sin if you've never been on a missions trip?
No.
No. But it says go. And that's for every Christian, men and women. So therefore, you're in sin if you haven't been on a missions trip. No, you don't accept that argumentation. So why do you accept the argumentation that it applies equally in every way to men and women? And see, that's the problem when you're trying to read into a text. You used the word a few minutes ago, eisegesis, when you're reading into the text. That's what you see here. Now, the second passage is Pentecost, as explained in Acts 2. Now, we've already started looking at Acts 2. And I want to go back to verse 1 here, because what Rick Warren says is that they were all together. We know that women were in that room. And indeed, in Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now, here's a grammar question for you. What part of speech is the word they?
Disciples? Men. I don't know
what
they.
Well, you're jumping ahead to what I'm going to say in just a moment. But it's a pronoun. It's a pronoun.
That I couldn't ask.
That's all right, brother. So pronouns take the place of nouns. Pronouns take the place of nouns, so we don't have to replace nouns over and over again. The disciples. So we could say they, right? Instead of saying the disciples. They. When we're reading, though, we have to ask ourselves, who are the they? If we go all the way back to the upper room, here we see that they were all in one mind there in prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so you say, aha, see, that they who were there on Pentecost included women. However, Peter stands up and he makes this speech about needing a replacement for Judas. Remember that? Judas went and hung himself. And so they needed a replacement for Judas. They cast lots, and they chose Matthias to replace Judas, and he was added to the 11 apostles, which makes 12 apostles. So the question is, does the they refer to everyone in the upper room, or to the 11, now plus one, the 12? Well, if we continue on and we continue to read, we see after they're speaking in tongues, and the people are saying, they are full of sweet wine, remember that? Peter taking his stand with the 11. So wait a minute, it's the disciples, it's not all the women who are there. So Rick Warren is wrong in how he's reading that passage. If you think about, or have you ever heard of someone say, the women were up there also speaking in tongues and preaching to the people? You usually don't hear preachers talk about that, because in the context, they weren't. It was the 11 or the 12. As
it was 11 plus Peter. He counted himself as 12.
Exactly. He would be 12. So he
because
went
already
and
made
stood with the 11.
One.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we can see he's misreading that passage. Also, by the way, remember what I said a minute ago? He's not going to look at the qualification passages. I did listen to that interview with Russell Moore, and he starts off by saying that. I've read the qualification passages, and I know what they say, but... but, and then he moves on to these other passages. Okay, well, what's the last one here? John 20:17, when Jesus told Mary Magdalene to tell the disciples about his resurrection, noting that Jesus chose her to be the first preacher of the gospel.
Excuse me?
So John 20:17. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them," that is the normal word for speak, apon, that's the normal word for speak, that it's not proclaim, it's not clerusso, it's not preach, it's say, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." There's a lot we could say about this verse. But what we cannot say is that he appointed her to be the first preacher of the gospel.
Boy, that's what he's reading into it.
That is reading into it. Now again, what did we say? Is it wrong for women to go and share their faith with others? No one is arguing that that's wrong. So not one complementarian is reading that verse and saying, "Oh, well, she better not do that because women aren't allowed to speak. Women are supposed to be silent." There might be some knucklehead out there, I don't know, who's saying that.
Where is he telling them to be silent at?
What's that?
Where's the place he tells them to be silent at?
That's in 1 Timothy 2.
Where's he telling women to be silent at?
Oh, in the church. In the church.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's a very specific context. He's not telling them to always be silent and to never share the gospel. We have no problem with women even teaching and writing books and having podcasts and teaching children and teaching other women. We have no problem with that. But when it comes to the pastor/elder/overseer, the Bible only allows for men. And he says, it's such a shame that we're hurting women in this way. I'm standing up for the millions of women in the SBC. Well, I can name a lot of women who would say to you, Mr. Warren, you don't stand for them. They want to stick with the Bible. And you are twisting the Bible. And that's what you always see. And they'll point to other people. They'll say, "Oh, yeah, see, Mary was the first preacher of the gospel. Even if we gave you that, she's not a pastor." they'll say, "Well, Deborah was a judge in Israel. She's not a pastor." Well, there's this female apostle that Paul names. Well, first of all, that's debatable. Junius, I think. And that's debatable. And second of all, that's still not a pastor. Because it could have been even a male, and it's not even clear if it's saying that she was among the apostles or known to the apostles. And so they'll look at all these examples, but they can't name one example of a female pastor. And I'm thinking if there are to be female pastors, if there are to be women pastors, God would, one, say it, and two, provide examples of it.
When was the last time somebody went to a woman and twisted the word?
Yep.
Back here, right? What was that? And what was he twisting? God's.
That's right. That's right. I'll add in this one last thing and we'll close here. Rick Warren appealed to the messengers of the convention. I was very encouraged by this. Rick Warren lost the vote. Not only was he ousted by the executive committee, the messengers voted, and this church was officially disfellowshipped from the SBC. Here are the election results. Do you sustain the executive committee's action to disfellowship Saddleback Church? 88%, over 88% were in favor, only 11% were against. In other words, it was overwhelmingly a landslide in ousting Rick Warren.
Yeah, you have to literally rip the pages out of the Bible.
I was so encouraged to see this. I hope these messengers will also see the other problems that the North American Mission Board has been causing, that some of the seminaries have been causing, where they are promoting female pastors. But I think it's clear in Scripture of what God has told us to look for, why it's there, because Adam was made first, then Eve, because Adam wasn't deceived, Eve was. There is an order that God has established. That order goes into the family. Men lead the home, not women. And then men lead the church home, not women. That is the idea there. And that's not hateful in any way, because we wouldn't even say that all men are qualified to lead either. It is
a question. Yeah, it's qualifications to
the man. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we want to look and see what God affirms, and we want to affirm what God affirms.